Welcome to Torah Timacha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we begin Melachim Beis Perek Aleph. Melachim Beis begins in the middle of a story. Yirmiyahu, the author of both halves of Sefer Melachim, tells us the tragic story of a nation gone astray. The first half of the book, Melachim Aleph, that we just concluded, begins with so much hope and excitement, the realization of a dream that has spanned millennia. Shlomo HaMelech, that great king, built the Beis HaMikdash, a home for Hashem. And of course, the Beis HaMikdash meant so much more than a beautiful building. It was a sign and a message that we, the children of the Avos, would truly live up to the mission to be the nation of Hashem, ambassadors to the world, a light onto the nations. And that is how it began. But of course, our section, Melachim Beis, ends in tragedy. Yirmiyahu, the heartbroken author of Sefer Melachim, has the painful job of explaining to us how it all fell apart, how disconnect from Hashem and character flaws such as jealousy, arrogance, and the tantalizing and insatiable lust for power destroyed the dream and almost destroyed the nation. And these 25 chapters of Melachim Beis will follow the Jewish nation through their final few hundred years of Bayis Rishon, the first Beis HaMikdash, and it includes the exile of the northern kingdom, Malchus Yisrael, the 10 tribes, and concludes with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But Melachim Beis is not just a story of disappointment and failure. It is a book of love and connection. We will experience how Hashem will send prophet after prophet, message after message, and miracle after miracle. We will wonder at some of these miracles. But the Jews were so unfaithful, and they keep ignoring these messages of love. Why do they deserve another miracle? We will bear witness to the patience and forbearance of Hashem, and how every time we take even one step of teshuvah, the love and salvation it brings. And we will experience the truth that Hashem loves us, His children, and that this message of teshuvah and love is one that He wants us, still His children, to hear and actualize. Melachim Aleph concludes with a disastrous war against Aram, in which the king of Yehuda, Yehoshaphat, almost lost his life, and Ahab, the evil king of Israel, who had gone to battle in disguise, was actually killed. Ahav had done so much damage in his lifetime, nationalizing idol worship, giving free rein to his wife Jezebel to hunt down and massacre Nevi'ei Hashem, prophets. The final straw was when Jezebel set up a mock court to murder Nevos HaYisraeli in order for Ahav to steal his vineyard. Eliyahu had warned Ahav that this would ultimately bring down his family. Now, in Melachim Beis, we catch up with his son Ahaziah. We see immediately that he has not learned from his father's mistakes at all. He is an idol worshiper who does not turn to Hashem even when in trouble. Perek Aleph begins, Vayifsha Moav b'Yisrael acharei mos Ahav. Moav, who had been paying taxes to the kingdom of Yisrael during the life of Ahav, now rebelled. Abarbanel teaches that there was a message in this. This nation is rebelling against you, just as you have rebelled against Hashem. We don't find Ahaziah reacting to this rebellion, although his brother will, in chapter 3. But what happens next is harder for Ahaziah to ignore. He literally falls through the roof. He has a sort of lattice in his attic in his palace in Shomron that Mefarshim tell us let sunlight in. What he was doing up there is anyone's guess. But in Pasuk Beis, verse 2, we find out, Vayipol Ahaziah ba'ad hasvacha ba'aliyaso asher b'shomron vayachal. He falls through the lattice in his attic. That is in Shomron, and he falls ill. But he doesn't do teshuvah. Instead, he sends messengers to the Baal Zvuv, the lord of the flies, the Avodah Zarah, the pagan god of Ekron, a Plishti city, and asks this pagan god, this lord of the flies, if he would live through this illness. Seeing how the Baal, the pagan god his father had served, had not saved his father Ahab in the recent war, Ahaziah does not turn to Hashem, but goes to find a new god. And in our very first example in our book of Hashem calling us home, not letting us easily fall through the abyss to destruction, Hashem sends an angel to speak to Eliyahu Hanavi to give over the following message, Pasuk Gimel. Umalach Hashem diber al Eliyahu ha-Tishbi, kum alei lekras malachei melech shomron v'daber aleihem. Ha-mibli ein Elokim b'Yisrael atem olchim l'drosh b'ba'al zvuv Elohei Ekron? A messenger of God speaks to Eliyahu Hanavi and says to him, get up and meet those messengers of the king of Shomron and speak to them. Is there a lack of Hashem in Yisrael that is causing you to go and seek the Baal Zvuv, the pagan god of Ekron? And in verse 4, Pasuk Dalet, V'lachein ko amar Hashem, Hamita asher alisa sham lo seyred mimena, ki mos tamus. So says God, this bed that you have gone onto, this sick bed, you will not go down from there, you will not descend from it, because you will surely die. Vayelech Eliyahu, and Eliyahu walks away. The messengers do not continue on their journey to Ekron, returning immediately to Ahaziah to relay this message from, as they say, Ish Allah lekrasenu, a man who came up to meet us. Shockingly, these royal couriers don't even recognize Eliyahu Hanavi. Radak explains that he has stayed away from the palace while the evil Izebel was hunting him down to kill him. And they describe Eliyahu as Ish Baal Se'ar ve'ezor or azor b'masnav, a man with a lot of hair and wearing a leather belt. And then Ahaziah knows from this description that this was Eliyahu Hanavi. The Medrash tells us that the origin of this belt was actually from the ram of Akedas Yitzchak, so holy that no part of it was ever lost. The horns went to the shofar of Har Sinai, and the right shofar will be used to herald in the times of Mashiach. The sinews became the strings in the harp of David HaMelech. The ashes became the foundation of the Mizbeach of the Beis HaMikdash. And the skin became the leather belt of Eliyahu Hanavi. Ahaziah now knew who he was dealing with. But rather than sending those messengers back to request Eliyahu to come talk to him, he actually sends the army, a general, and his 50 men. Pasuk Tes, verse 9, Vayishlach elav sar chamishim v'chamishav, Vayyal elav v'hine yoshev al rosh ahar, Vayidaber elav, Ish ha'lokim, ha'melach diber reda. So he sent to him an officer of a regiment and his 50 men, and he was sitting on the top of the mountain. And the general says to him, man of God, the king spoke, go down. What an arrogant way to talk to Eliyahu, as if to say, you may be the man who represents Hashem, but I am the general of the king. I outrank you. Eliyahu responds in verse 10. Vaya'ane Eliyahu vayidaber al sar ha-chamishim. V'im ish elokim ani, tered ish min ha-shamayim. V'tochal oscha ve'es chamishacha. If indeed I am a man of Hashem, then a fire will descend from the sky and consume you and your 50 men. In other words, if you know who I am, if you know that I represent Hashem, and you still speak to me this way? And then it happened just as he said, Vatered esh min hashamayim v'tochal oso v'es chamishav. A fire descended from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And now Ahaziah, after ignoring warning after warning from Hashem, the warning of the rebellion, the warning of the fall, the warning through Eliyahu that he deserves to die for seeking the Baal Zvuv rather than Hashem, and now the death of his general and officers through a miraculous, obviously godly fire. What does Ahaziah do? He sends another officer and his 50 men. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, Vayashav Vayishlach Elav Sar Chamishim Acher, and he returned and sent after him another general, Vachamishav and his 50 men, Vayya'an Vayidaber Elav, Ish Ha'elokim, Ko Amar HaMelech, Mehera Reda. And he responds and says to him, man of God, so says the king, go down quickly. But the Malbim notes the interesting usage of the word vaya'an in this pasuk. Vaya'an usually means, and he responds, and he answered, but who was this general answering? Nobody spoke. The Malbim explains that in this verse, vaya'an means something else. As in Parshas Bishalach, it says, vata'an Miriam Hanaviyah, or in Sefer Iyov, when it says, vaya'an Iyov. Commentaries explain it to mean Miriam raised her voice in song, or Iyov cried out. So to hear, vaya'an doesn't mean he replied. It means this general raised his voice to speak to Eliyahu. And the Malbim tells us why. This general had seen what had happened to the first general who had climbed the mountain to try to drag Eliyahu by force to bring him to the king. And so he chose differently. He stayed at the bottom of the mountain and yelled at Eliyahu from there. And as we see the aggressive words he uses and the obvious tone, even adding the word mehera, quickly get down here, we are struck by the absurdity of his thought process. Did he think it was the mountain that was dangerous? It was speaking so disrespectfully to a Navi that caused his predecessor's death, not going up the mountain. But this general, from what he considered his safe position, far away from Eliyahu, now yells, just as or maybe even more rudely than the first. And so Eliyahu responds in verse 12, if I am a man of God, a fire will descend from the heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And that happened. But what happens next? Verse 13. Vayasha vayishlach sar chamishim shlishim v'chamishav. Achazia, refusing to learn any lessons, sends yet a third general and his 50 men. But here our story changes. Vaya'al vayavo sar chamishim hashlishi vayichra al berkav l'neged Eliyahu. Vayishanene lav, vayidaberi lav, ish ha'elukim. Tikarna nafshi v'nefesh avadecha ela chamishim be'inacha. This general approaches alone, respectfully. He kneels on his knees opposite Eliyahu. He begs him and speaks to him and says, man of Hashem, man of Elohim, let my life and the life of my 50 men be precious before you. Hine yerda esh min hashamayim in verse 14. I know that a fire has descended from the heavens, v'tochal shnei sarei chamishim harishonim, and consumed the two other generals, v'es chamishehem, and their 50. V'atati kar nafshi be'enacha. Now let my soul be precious in your eyes. This verse gives us so much hope that in identical situations, we are not stuck in a horrific loop of sin and disrespect, that people are free to make real choices to behave differently. And the result? Pasuk Tesvav. Vayidaber malach Hashem al Eliyahu, raid oso. An angel speaks to Eliyahu and says, go down with him. Al tira mi panav, don't be afraid of Achazia. Vayakam vayered oso al hamelech, and so he goes down with this general to the king. And then Eliyahu speaks his powerful words to Achaziah himself. You have refused to change. And this final act of sending messengers to a Baal Zavuv, literally a fly, you will die. And finally, Achaziah does die. And his brother took over for him because Achaziah does not have children. But this Pasuk Yud Zayin 17 is also interesting. Vayamas kidvar Hashem asher diber Eliyahu. He dies like Hashem said to Eliyahu. Vayimloch Yehoram tachtav. And his brother Yehoram takes over for him. Bishnas shtayim li Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat melech Yehuda. In the second year of Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, kilo haya lo ben, because he had no son. All the commentaries struggle with this verse. He took over in the second year of Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda? Let's do some math. Yehoshaphat ruled for 25 years. Ahaziah took over in the 17th year of Yehoshaphat and ruled for about 2 years, as we know from Psukim in Melachim Aleph. Yehoshaphat should still be king by every count. The Tosefta Sota, in trying to help us understand this contradiction, points us to Divrei HaYamim Beis 18. that describes the war at the end of Melachim Aleph, when Ahav went in disguise, and that the generals of Aram saw Jehoshaphat in the carriage and actually thought that he was Ahav Melech Israel and tried to kill him. That actually this was going to be a punishment to Jehoshaphat for joining in this battle that he should not have joined. But he cried out and did teshuvah. And at that last second, Hashem granted him 7 new years of life. There will be many times in Melachim Beis, our Sefer, that we will be confused. The years will just not make sense. And the answer will always be, oh, this must be referencing the 7 new years of life of Jehoshaphat. So going back to our chapter, had Hashem not interceded and saved Jehoshaphat's life, had Jehoshaphat died, it would have been the 2nd year of his son Jehoram. And the lesson for us, of course, is huge. Because we may read through this troubling first chapter of Melachim Beis and wonder, was there really any hope for Ahaziah? I mean, the angel literally gave the message to Eliyahu, tell Ahaziah he's going to die. Could he have done teshuvah at any point in our parak? The answer, of course, is yes. And the story of Jehoshaphat referenced here at the end demonstrates just that. But it's more than that, of course, because we also wonder, don't we all just fall into our patterns and do what we are programmed to do? Obviously, Ahaziah is going to choose idol worship. Obviously, the generals will deny the reality of what a prophet of Hashem is. It's all so disheartening and disillusioning. But these little sparks of light that the Navi includes in our story, the third general and the choices he made, Jehoshaphat and his cry of teshuvah, even at the last second, and how Hashem saved both of them. Teshuvah works. And even more importantly, teshuvah is attainable and possible for all of us. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmos Ima Hoseinu Hayikaros, Esther Oppenheimer Aleha HaShalom, and Sarah Schenker Aleha HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.